O'clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. We invite everyone to turn and face the back of the church this morning for the beginning of our service. We also welcome those who are tuned in on the radio this morning. Thanks for joining us. We'll begin our service this morning from the back of the sanctuary with our invocation, our confession and absolution, and then during our processional hymn, we'll process in with the cross. Let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved with our whole heart.
We have
not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
entry this morning from Acts chapter 2 and Romans chapter 10. The Lord says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. With the heart, one believes and is justified, and with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. We continue with the Kyrie. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. God, heavenly King, almighty. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, on this day, you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day, by the same Spirit, to have a right understanding in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for today, our celebration of Pentecost, comes from the book of Numbers in the 11th chapter. Before we read this text from Numbers, I want you to know a little bit more about the story that's going on in that chapter. So basically what's going on is the people of Israel are in the wilderness, and the people desire meat. God has provided them manna from heaven, as you might remember from the wilderness wanderings, but now they want meat. And in this story, we hear of two men, Ildad and Medad, that the Spirit rests on. And Ildad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And in order to understand the text correctly, you have to know, it seems, that they're prophesying about the Lord's provision of meat, which Moses, in this instance, had questioned prior to this reading and said something like, Lord, how are we going to feed all of these people meat? The text says there's like 600,000 people. That's a big trip to McDonald's. So Moses is wondering, how are we going to pull this off? And then all of a sudden, others in the camp begin prophesying. And so the situation is as such. We begin in verse 24 of Numbers chapter 11. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, My Lord, Moses, stop them. But Moses said to him, Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them? And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading for this morning comes from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, What does this mean? But others mocking said, They are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. It shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand and face the cross as we sing our Alleluia verse and read our gospel reading from the center of the nave.
To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 7th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not glorified. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our hymn of the day for our celebration of Pentecost? That's hymn 497, "Come Holy Ghost, God and Lord." Let's sing. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning is short. If you've got a copy of it there, I invite you to turn over to it, either in your bulletin where it's printed or also in your Bible. It's short. It's only verse 37, 38, and 39. But it's technical. In its original language, I mean. So technical, in fact, that it is grammatically appropriate to translate this text in two different ways, believe it or not. We read the text as it was read this morning from John 7. Jesus says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But as many respected commentators point out in their commentaries on this passage, it could also correctly be translated from Greek to English in another way. This translation comes from Reverend Dr. William Weinrich's commentary. Dr. Weinrich is an absolute master in Greek and Hebrew and Latin and Syriac and Coptic languages and travels all over the world translating from manuscripts. And then also teaches at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, and I got to take one class with him while I was there. He points out that it could be translated this way also. If anyone should thirst, let him come to me, and let him who believes in me drink. As the scripture said, rivers of living water shall flow from his side. I kind of favor that translation, as it's grammatically correct to translate the text that way, as well as theologically correct to understand it that way. And by siding with this translation, even though the ESV Bible chooses the other grammatically correct way, it changes the meaning significantly. I've had to preach on this passage a few times in my life, and I've always been confused and struggled to understand verse 38. In Dr. Weinrich's translation, the pronoun at the end of verse 38, his, refers to Jesus. Out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. An important distinction. It shows us that Jesus is the source of living water, and out from him flow rivers of living water, not out of our hearts, but out of his. And no matter which translation you favor, it's something every Christian should agree on. It's what Jesus says in John 15 when he says, "I'm the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus is the source of our life. He's our living water. We're not that for ourselves, despite what popular self-help culture is going to tell you. It's not how it works. And even when we speak the gospel ourselves, when it comes out of our own mouth and those rivers of living water do flow out from us, as the translation in the ESV makes it clear, even when that happens, we still know that we aren't the source of it, but the source of that life is our Lord Jesus and the word of his gospel. In order to understand this passage, we must understand where this living water flows also in the Old Testament. Listen to the prophet Zechariah for a moment in chapter 14 of his prophecy as he prophesies about our Lord Jesus over 500 years before the incarnation. He writes, beginning in verse 8 of chapter 14, "On that day, Zechariah says, living waters shall flow out from Jerusalem." If you missed it, catch it. Living waters shall flow out from Jerusalem, half of them to the eastern sea, and half of them to the western sea. It shall continue in summer and in winter, as in winter, sorry, and the Lord will be king over all the earth. On that day, the Lord will be one and his name one. Zechariah is telling us of the kingship of Jesus that at that time was to come, but for us is now. And the one name by which we will call God, Jesus. And about the great commission of the gospel that will flow to the east and to the west. Or as Jesus put it in Matthew 28, to all nations. We can see that Zechariah's living water was Christ. Next, we have to understand what was happening the day that Jesus showed himself to be the only source of living water, the day we're reading about in John chapter 7. See, this all took place during what was called in the Old Testament the Feast of Tabernacles. During the feast, on the last day, the day of a holy convocation, as the scripture will put it, the great day, that's when Jesus stood up. When Jesus stands up to talk, we definitely ought to listen to what he has to say. He stands up and he speaks these words to the people in the temple at Jerusalem. Big deal. But there's more. During the 7 days of the festival, the priests would process from the Temple Mount down to the Pool of Siloam, which is about a 12-minute walk. And there they would fill golden flagons. You know what a flagon is? A flagon is what is like a pitcher. It's a technical name for the pitcher that we pour into the chalice. It's a flagon. They'd fill golden flagons or pitchers with water. And then the water was then carried in a procession back up to the Temple Mount through the water gate and into the inner court of the temple. And meanwhile, while this procession is going on and this water is being carried, the people gathered would be singing. All the people at the festival, thousands and thousands of people singing while this procession is going on. It's a cool thing to picture. Big day. One of the psalms that they sang what's known as the Hallel Psalms, which is Psalm 113 through Psalm 118 in your Bible. One of the psalms they in that section is Psalm 117. And here's a couple verses from that just so you can hear and sort of picture in your mind what was going on. This is the psalm. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. And many other psalms like that they sang. Then the priests would process around the altar. Then the water would be poured out, along with wine, interestingly enough, into huge silver bowls that were located there. And then those huge silver bowls would then in turn be poured out onto the altar itself. The water was associated with the celebration of the water of creation. They saw it as the water of life on the great day of their feast in this procession. The water also that flowed from the rock in the wilderness when the Israelites were thirsty and God provided water for them. And finally, also that water is associated with the water that would flow from the temple at the end of days, according to what prophets like Zechariah and Ezekiel had spoken. So imagine it. The water carried up, the people singing these psalms. It was a big deal. This is the context. This is why we need to know, because this is the context in which Jesus stands up and literally associates himself with this water of the Feast of Tabernacles. He had an object lesson when he said the things that he said in our gospel reading this morning.
And he's fundamentally, no matter which way you translate the text, he is the reality and the substance of Israel's life. Redemption for all of humankind. The water is that of Eden. It brought life. And the water from the rock in the wilderness in Exodus 17 sustained life. Jesus himself is saying in our short but technical passage that the water was purposed in him. All that water from the Old Testament was pointing to him. He's the goal of what kept Israel alive throughout their wilderness wanderings. And it's about restoration. Before Adam and Eve fell into sin, God's creation was green and lush and beautiful, and there were many trees in the garden. It was filled with life. Adam spent his time naming the animals, caring for the garden. But after the fall, the image that we see is, as the prophet Isaiah puts it, a dry, dry desert land. Listen to Isaiah in two verses from chapter 35. The wilderness and the dry land, he says, shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. Why does all of that happen? And what's Isaiah talking about there? Jesus, the living water for the world. It's a huge change to go from dry, dusty desert, maybe you've driven across one in your life, to go to lush forest. But in Jesus, we will be restored. So that's the image. Jesus wants us to consider it this morning, because our lives too are so often filled with dry desert-like situations caused by sin. Sin in the world, yes, and sin within each of us. Things like arguments, fits of anger, resentment, grudges, even pain. The thorns of sin and death can pierce us often into grief, into despair, disappointment and broken homes. And relationships plague our world. Even in the church, this kind of stuff can surface and cause problems among those who claim Jesus as their Lord. So what happens? Jesus stands up and he exclaims the truth with his eternal voice. Quick question. Is your mouth dry? Does your life feel like a desert sometimes? Parched? Do you struggle with anxiety? With depression, even? Does your life feel like a struggle? Does it feel like it's missing a purpose? That's what Jesus is talking about when he says in our text, if anyone thirsts. We all feel it, because even on a great day, there's a constant longing that there must be something more. That's the thirst that Jesus is talking about in our text. It's an image for lives struggling with sin and consciences that have become seared and calloused to the sins that they're used to. I like this analogy the best one. A mirage. You know what I mean when I say mirage? Pretty common, right? A mirage is how Satan deceives us with the pleasures of the world. When we think we're unhappy and our life just isn't satisfying us anymore, we so often use temporary things to try and quench our thirst. We see it all the time. But here's an interesting thing, right? Once you receive that temporary thing, how long does its luster last? no matter what it is. Might be something that you go out and buy. Might be a person that you're with. How long before you take that thing for granted? They quickly lose their luster, and we need something else, and something else, and something else. It feels like it's never going to end for us. Many people live their whole lives trying to drink from that water that will never satisfy their thirst because it's just the devil's mirage. That's why Jesus told the woman at the well early in John's gospel, if you knew who it was who asked you, you would ask him, and he would give you living water. So Jesus stands up and tells us who the source of satisfaction is. It's him. This is what our faith cries out, friends. This is what the Spirit speaks in our hearts. It's the reason that we're here right now. Because the Spirit draws us in and brings us. The Spirit that was given on the Sunday that we celebrate on Pentecost to the world, and that was given to us in the water of our baptism, and in his body and blood that's shared with us at the altar this morning. These will sustain us through this desert we call life. These gifts will carry us in Christ's strength from this world and on into eternal life, even through death. They'll have the last word and they'll carry us. Through them, Jesus gives us strength and strengthens our faith. His teachings will bring refreshment. They'll bring comfort through the word of his forgiveness and the hope that he provides. They'll bring consolation to the struggles that we have in relationships and throughout our life. It's living water, and he's the source. The thirst that we feel, where it feels like it's just not quite enough every day, only he can quench. And did you know that when Jesus died on the cross, John tells us in his gospel that when the Roman soldiers took the spear and pierced his side with the spear, out came not just blood, but blood and water. And why? Because those are the sacraments. Those are the life of the church. Blood and water, baptism, the Lord's Supper, the life of God flowing from his cross. And this is how the passage from our gospel reading ends. Now this he said about the Spirit. There on the cross, Jesus yielded up his Spirit. Remember that text, as the scriptures told us? And it wasn't just a fancy way. That's how we always read it. Like it's a fancy way for saying that he's died. And Jesus yielded up his spirit. But it was more than that. He gave up his body, the water from it, the blood in his veins, and his spirit. Because those are the things that he chose to use to connect you to the hope that he offers, to the forgiveness that he gives, to quench our thirst. We've been partakers in his spirit as believers, and that's how he's brought us together again this morning. His Holy Spirit led us back to his altar in order to fulfill Jesus' words. That's why he brought you, to fulfill his words. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. It's here that we receive the blessings that he has for us. Blessings that the world cannot see, friends. We need to stop looking around at the world to see if this thing is like, you know, is it really legit? I mean, it doesn't seem like everybody's on board with this as much, Pastor. Like, I don't know, it's kind of old-fashioned and stuff. Anyone who thirsts, let him come to me and drink. It's here that we receive his gifts according to his word, blessings that the world cannot see, but we do see by faith. He provides to open our eyes to the mirages of the devil, to show us how weak we are crossing this desert we call life. And most importantly, to give us himself again and again and again to sustain us in this wilderness so that the water of life by faith may once again flow from him to us today and quench our thirst. This unites us together with all Israel, yeah, and with all the church. Israel traveled to the promised land, and they celebrated the commemoration of that at the Feast of Tabernacles, the great day at the temple. And so we celebrate today, Pentecost, because on this day, a great day for us, the Lord's Day, Jesus lets us stand up as a kingdom of priests. And he lets us process around the altar. And in receiving him and his forgiveness, he truly quenches our thirst. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we confess our faith this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father. Please be seated. This morning we're blessed to have an opportunity to return to the Lord a portion of the gifts that he's provided us so richly with. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we invite you to sing with us hymn 650, Holy Spirit Ever Dwelling. We now come to our time of the prayer of the church. Our response for prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, when you filled the disciples with the Holy Spirit, 3,000 souls were called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified. Likewise, fill our congregation, our synod, and the whole Christian church on earth with the Holy Spirit. Renew us, that the sacraments may be administered faithfully, and many more would be called by the gospel, enlightened with your gift, and sanctified and kept in the true faith. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, you delivered your word through Moses and the prophets and fulfilled your word in Christ. He was planted in death for our sins and raised for our justification. And in him shall all the nations of the earth be united. We pray you'd give us pastors who will preach this truth faithfully and church workers who are devoted to your service. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you have promised that all who drink from your living water will well up to eternal life. Help us show forth in holy lives the fruits of the Spirit and live with love towards our neighbor. Remove all nasty pride, prejudice, and hate that we may not hinder the cause of the gospel. But welcome all people in Christ's name. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, we give thanks for those who have served our nation. Lord, through their military service. And we remember with gratitude those who gave their lives for us and the cause of freedom. Help us to honor their sacrifice this weekend by using our liberty responsibly. Keep safe all who travel. Bless our nation. And help us to protect and increase the privileges we have for those who follow us, looking always to you, from whom these gifts come. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, you've sent the Holy Spirit to your church as the comforter. Soothe the wounds of your people, Lord. According to your will, bring restoration to broken families. Heal the sick. Uplift the depressed. Provide for the poor. Uphold the forgotten. And answer the prayers of all who call to you for aid. Especially we name before you this morning St. Peter's Lutheran Church, our sister church in Monte Vista, Lord, as they search to call a new pastor. We lift to you Dave Johnson, Betty White, Barb Luco, Tom Poole, Connie Poole, Frankie Gray, Nathan Poole, Brooklyn Clasby, Kierlin Jerry, Mona Hauser, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Frank Rendon, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Heavenly Father, we also lift up our graduates to you, not just those that are connected with our church, but those throughout the nation, here in our valley. Lord, we ask that you give them guidance strength, faith, and Lord, the firm trust that you're always with them according to your promise. Lord, in your mercy. Oh Lord, giver of the Holy Spirit, clear away all distractions that our hearts and minds may be focused on you. As Christ comes to us in the bread, which is his body, and the cup of his blood, help us to receive your gifts with faith and to live from them. Receive our praise and thanksgiving together with the tithes and offerings that we've brought as tokens of our trust in you. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Father, with your Son Jesus Christ, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts through your word to rule and govern us according to your will. Comfort us in every temptation and misfortune and defend us against every error, that we may continue steadfast in the faith, increase in love and good works, and trusting firmly in your grace for us, by his death, obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning in. If you're gathered here in the sanctuary with us this morning, we invite you to please stand for our service of the sacrament. We'll be beginning on page 10 in the bulletin. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended above the heavens and sitting at your right hand poured out on us this day the promised Holy Spirit on his chosen disciples. For all this, the whole earth rejoices with exceeding joy. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, drink. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Go away, the sin.
Been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK.